Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Friday edition of the program live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. If you missed the live show, you can still keep up with us each day. We're available as a podcast on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast as well. Two very easy ways to stay up with the program. And again, we hope you're live with us every day, but no matter how you join the Hoosier Report, we appreciate you being with us even during a time with no live sports. We've been able to continue on with a good listenership and lots of feedback and great guests, and we appreciate that very, very much. Let's take a look at the show today, the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. In this first segment today, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And with that today, the big news we're going to talk about happened just after we closed out the program yesterday. So around noon or 12:30 in the afternoon yesterday, we find out that Nojel Eastern, the Purdue transfer that's entering the portal that really has caused some entertainment this week because Coach Matt Painter has had some pretty damning comments, pretty honest comments about his and Matt Harms' transfer and just the program in general. It was announced that he's going to transfer and stay within the Big Ten Conference and go just north of Purdue to Michigan and be a Wolverine for the remainder of his college career. And, of course, as it sits right now, as he not a graduate transfer, unless the rule has changed and there's been discussion it will and then it's been put on hold, but will transfers be eligible next year? As of now, a regular transfer would still have to sit out in a season, a full season, before returning. So he would be out a season. But interesting pickup. And I saw Matt Norlander, a college basketball guy, a national guy, tweet out, maybe that's why Matt Painter sounds so peed earlier this week in talking about it, because it's one thing to lose a player that maybe you didn't expect to lose or that you think's making the wrong decision or whatever the case is. It's another thing when you know that player is going to stay within your own conference at a school that's fairly nearby your campus. That's just a tough pill for a coach to swallow, I think. It would be just like if one of the Purdue, not even with more intensity, if one of the Purdue transfers or graduate transfers had considered Indiana or had decided upon Indiana, you know, say Matt Harms had liked Indiana, say he was being recruited by Indiana, say he was going to come to Indiana. Can you imagine the extra fire that would add to the already big rivalry series? So obviously that didn't happen, but Nojel to Michigan did happen. And that is going to be something to watch and to keep an eye on for the foreseeable future. And, of course, it's happened before. Obviously, you can think about other players that have left a Big Ten school, have transferred as a graduate transfer especially, and been able to stay in the conference. And you can remember a time when I think it was a conference-by-conference rule. I don't think this was an NCAA rule. But you can remember a time where when you transferred, first there were no graduate transfers. That really wasn't a thing. There were regular transfers, and when you transferred, everyone had to sit out a year, which as of now is still the same unless you're a graduate, and you could not go to a school within the Big Ten Conference. And I think most conferences, maybe not all, most conferences that was the case,
that you could not transfer within the conference. But, of course, now those rules are different, and it's happened before, and I'm sure it'll happen again with players leaving Big Ten schools and, again, staying within the conference, going to another conference school. So we'll cover that more in the Zaxby's headlines. A couple other mentions today as well that we'll take care of here in this opening segment in these headlines brought to you each day by Zaxby's. Later in the show, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. He's always with us Fridays. We talk IU basketball, college hoops, and more. And then later in the show, Kyle Neddenrip cannot be with us today, but Jeff Rabjohns, a former voice we used to have on a regular basis, he's going to come back for a segment today. With Jeff, we'll primarily, we may get on a little IU stuff. I want to cover that with Jared, but we're going to get on to some recruiting and some basketball stuff when Jeff is with us later in the show today. So Kyle Neddenrip, Jeff Rabjohns, guest today in our show lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget that Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, we've been telling you about this special with bone-in hams. It's changed now. All bone-in hams are 50% off. So you want a ham, a bone-in ham, go to Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. They are 50% off at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. So you can get, again, a bone-in ham. You don't have to purchase anything else. There was a purchase minimum. You don't have to do that now. There's bone-in hams available at 50% off at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. That's the latest offer from them, so make sure you stop by and check that out. Don't forget, we'd love to hear from you, whether you're listening live, maybe you're listening to the podcast. Love to get comments, questions, reactions on subjects that we talk about. On Twitter, you can follow me at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills, and you can tweet me a question or comment there. Make sure you follow me as well for updates on the show, links to our podcast, who are some of the upcoming guests, and a lot more there. Also, the show has a Facebook page. You can follow at the Hoosier Report on Facebook. Just type in on the Facebook search bar, the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you can leave a message there if you'd like it to get read on the air or used on the show. And we'd love to hear from you, even if we don't get them all on the air. Really enjoy hearing from you and your comments and your thoughts on things and directions that you'd like to see us go with different guests that join us on the program. Let's get into the Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented with by Zaxby's, with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And a few things to get to. I mentioned Ojel Eastern. I mentioned that he is going to Michigan. That obviously is the top headline in the Big Ten in college basketball right now, at least here in our area. But last night, Indiana did hold a virtual awards banquet. I know we've talked some about virtual programming that is being offered. Silver Creek did a virtual basketball camp for its youth. New Albany basketball did an online award ceremony. We've done the virtual skills and drills and the stay home skills competition earlier in the pandemic, but IU doing a virtual banquet where all the players gathered together as virtually for dinner and for awards to be announced. The program honored its 2019 seniors all as most valuable players. That was announced as well at the very start. That's the Anthony Thompson Most Valuable Player Award. Also, Offensive Newcomer of the Year, Matthew Bedford. Defensive Newcomer of the Year, Tawan Mullen. A few other standout awards, the Mental Attitude Award, Gavin Everett and Nick Westbrook. Dedication to IU Football Award, Hunter Littlejohn. Let's see here. This is a good one. The Terry P. Cole Award, which is given for the old Oaken Bucket Game MVP. That went to Peyton Ramsey, who obviously is departing the program. And, of course, you've got all the different outstanding awards for each sector of the team, each area of the team, and those you can find if you want to see the full list at iuhoosiers.com on the official site of IU football. But the awards class out of the way for IU football, and of course the national conversation on football continues to be what exactly is going to happen with the season. We've seen a handful of schools cancel for the fall already. There's another handful of schools that say they're going to do everything possible with the intent to open in the fall as normal. And then there are other schools that are, and I think the majority of schools really haven't said much. And if they have said anything, it's that they are, you know, there's combinations of a normal return, a virtual and somewhat normal return would be another combination. And, of course, worst-case scenario is no-fall classes in person on campus. Along those lines, I did hear that Andy Beshear, the Kentucky governor, said yesterday that if things continue to progress in the state of Kentucky, and I know Indiana and Kentucky are a little different when it comes to the virus and when it comes to population and when it comes to metropolitan centers and things like that, but there are some similarities as well. But Governor Beshear in Kentucky said yesterday on a radio interview that he didn't see any reason, if things continue to progress, that is, in a positive way, that schools won't resume in the fall in Kentucky. Now, he did go on to say that he didn't think they were anywhere close right now to being able to talk about fall sports like high school football with any kind of definitive idea on what could happen. Said things, time would need to pass a little bit between now and then to see if things are better. So, curious to see if Indiana officials agree that the state of Indiana is in the same situation or not. Jennifer McCormick, the state superintendent, she sent out a message in a tweet yesterday that said, quote, "We understand schools need guidance for July 1st. The Indiana Education Department is working with the governor's office and the state health office to provide considerations as quickly as possible. Thanks for your patience." And what that tells me is right now, school buildings are closed in Indiana through June 30th, even as the regular high school stuff comes to a close. School buildings closed through June 30th. No summer school on campuses across the state. So will they come out and say in a couple weeks after studying this thing that, okay, you are able to come back to your building July 1st and we'll have classes as normal? Or are they coming back in a few weeks and saying, you know what, we're still going to keep buildings closed? That would infect probably end a big hope for some summer activities, which could affect, if you don't have summer football practices, the likelihood that football is played, because, you, again, as we've discussed, you just can't walk out on the field and say, okay, a week before the first football game, even if it's a delayed start, we're going to play football. It's one of those sports you really, I mean, every sport is. You've got to train and build up and get to the right point with it, but especially football where you're taking hits and things like that. So that's just a couple notes across the education spectrum yesterday on what different officials in Indiana and Kentucky are thinking, whether it's college or high school. And I think that's the kind of stuff to follow, especially if you're wondering about high school sports and college football, kind of what are the bulk of the universities and what are the bulk of the states do in the coming weeks. And I think we'll know more later in the month or in early June about the next school year. You may not know specifically about fall sports, but if they do announce that it's going to be a virtual return to high school in the fall, and I shouldn't even say the fall, it's really later this summer, a lot of school systems re-get at it again or start back up in late July or into early August. But if they say we're going to be virtual in August, virtual for that, you know, first 9 weeks of school or whatever they could announce, you know, I don't see how you play sports if kids aren't back in school normal. How do you have practices and how do you have sports competitions in the evening and on the weekends if you're not going to the school building during the day? So, as I say every time we talk about all this, very interesting things ahead as far as news conferences and announcements and press releases from these governors in all the states, but of course we're focusing here especially Indiana, Kentucky, and other officials as well, with the health officials and education officials, to see what happens. All right, that's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Friday edition of the program. Stay with us. We have a lot more coming your way. In the next segment, we'll also talk with, as I mentioned, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. And still ahead, Jeff Rabjohns of the Indianapolis, or in place of Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star. Jeff of Pigs.com is going to join us to talk some basketball recruiting as well. And we've got our senior spotlight today, Colin Malloy of New Albany High School. Colin is a member of the track and field team, and we'll tell you all about him. He lost his senior year, and he's who we're going to profile in our senior spotlight today. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call in this segment. We'll talk some IU basketball, then we'll take a turn for recruiting in the following segment with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. Jared, thanks so much for being with us. Obviously, the news of the Big Ten Conference, at least right now, is not only that Nojel Eastern has left Purdue and entering the transfer portal, but we now know his future destination. He's going to stay in the conference, be a Michigan Wolverine. And I think now maybe I understand why Matt Painter was so ticked off earlier this week.
Yeah, boy, it really is a sign of the times, isn't it? That this has been like 48 hours of like the hottest topic, and it's, you know, a moderately decent Big Ten player transferring. it has been the most important thing that we've had to talk about for the last 2 days.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, and nothing to take away from Nojel Eastern, I'm not somebody that gets real opinionated on other teams' players, but he's a guy that effectively can't score. He's a defensive stopper, and that's a huge part of the game and really an underrated part of the game. But we're talking about, I think, a very, in many ways, one-dimensional type player.
Yeah, I mean, he's a useful guy in the right role, you know, but he's a role player who I think, you know, clearly sees himself as more, or, you know, maybe his family sees him as more. I don't want that to come across as negative. I mean, he should see himself as more. I mean, you need to be realistic about what you can do when you're on the court and accept your role. But certainly you should try to keep growing and try to put yourself, you know, in the best possible position, you know, to further your career once you're done playing basketball. So I don't begrudge a guy, you know, those feelings, the option to go look elsewhere if that's what he feels like he needs to do. I think it's going to be interesting, you know, what happens with him at Michigan, because, you know, I think if he's just going to transfer and play this year, you know, if he ends up being a grad transfer, or if he gets some kind of waiver, you know, I don't know how that really is going to benefit him more than sticking it out another year at Purdue. I suppose the way they use him up there will probably be different, you know, more ball screens and such, and so maybe that'll be a benefit for him. But I think if he, you know, goes and is a sit-out transfer, you know, and actually can spend a year just working on his shot without the need for immediate improvement in a game, you know, it's hard to make any kind of mechanical adjustment if, you know, you've got to go out in a game and you're not comfortable with it, you know. So I think if you're really going to improve your shot, you know, actually taking a year away from the game to really just be able to work on that without having to worry about what it's going to look like in the game might be the best thing for him. And so, you know, if that's what he does, you know, it might end up being a smart thing for him to do, you know, for the future of his career. But, you know, we'll see. Obviously, it's going to be a topic of conversation whenever he's playing again, because you don't see too many transfers like this, you know, within the conference. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with it.
Yeah, no question. And, Jared, I've mentioned this in our headline segment today, and maybe you'll be able to add some clarity to it or not, but there was a time, and it wasn't all that long ago, when you could not transfer within certain conferences in college basketball. Wasn't that not an NCAA rule, but wasn't that like a conference-by-conference kind of gentleman's agreement? I don't even know if it was a written rule, but did something like that exist a number of years back?
That's true. Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat that you are. Yeah, it was either some kind of gentleman's agreement or an actual rule about it, and I guess that's true. You know, just you heard the news that he's transferring to Michigan, and I guess we've seen it happen with grad transfers. Obviously, Max Bielfeldt, you know, Spike Albrecht, some of those guys, Andrew Dockich, you know, those guys transferred. But yeah, I guess I don't know if it's different with a grad transfer than with a regular transfer, because I thought there was a time when coaches could block guys from transferring to certain schools. I think that happened with either someone coming to Wisconsin or leaving Wisconsin. So, yeah, I actually want to go look that up, because I'm not sure.
Yeah, something to pay attention to. Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. Now that we've had, and this is the discussion that we've had since the end of the season, which obviously it was a real early end for everybody this season. But now that a little time has simmered maybe, and we can look around the Big Ten Conference, I guess the only thing that could change rosters in a major way would be NBA draft. The June 3rd date we know is getting pushed back because of everything going on with the coronavirus and the delays. So some of the players that you expect to come back, I guess that you're kind of counting to be on a certain team's roster, like a Justin Smith in Indiana, we could always be surprised at a new date, maybe later in June or early in July, whatever that date is now set for. But other than something like that, or other than like a reclassification, I know Christian Lander fits that bill, I think we have a pretty good handle at this point on who's departing, who's coming, what recruiting classes look like across the Big Ten Conference. And again, there could always be some movement or some surprise. But now that things have simmered just a bit, how do you see the conference as a whole next year, and where do you see Indiana stacking up? It's kind of been interesting to hear different IU guys that cover things give their early opinion of where Indiana could be at and what I think we all agree will be another good Big Ten conference next year.
Yeah, it's a fun question to chew on this time of year, especially with just not many other sports to think about. And there still are some unanswered questions, with who's going to stay in the NBA draft and who doesn't. I mean, Xavier Tillman, who I just saw a tweet about an hour ago that he's still about 50-50. I think he's a guy that could really swing things in one direction or another for Michigan State, just because of how valuable he is and what kind of leadership, he could provide with them already having to replace Cassius Winston. But, I think when you look at the Big Ten, Wisconsin, obviously, with what they did last year, having five seniors, guys who are just really dependable, I think they are the clear-cut favorite. Now, the question with Wisconsin is, they've got a lot of experience, they've got continuity, they've got the success from last year. They're not the most talented team in the conference, but they are the most reliable. And so I think, they're going to be kind of the odds-on favorite, and I get it. I think they are the safest bet. And then you've got a couple of teams behind them that I think have a lot of ability, but still some question marks. Iowa, if Luka Garza comes back, they're going to be near the top of everybody's list because with Garza, they're probably going to have the most potent offense in the country. But offense has never been the big issue for Iowa, certainly over the last 4 or 5 years. Can they stop anybody? And, if you go back and look at some of the teams that they had in the mid-2010s, I think from 2013 to 2017, something like that, defense was at least decent. They had a couple defenses in the top 30. On average, they were right around 40th. Now, the last 4 or 5 years, they've been terrible, in the 90s and the 100s. And I think if they're there again, even if their offense is really good, I don't think they're going to be a top three team in the Big Ten. But if they can find a way to just be passable defensively, it's going to be real hard to keep them, out of the top of the conference. And then you've got Michigan State, who, I think everybody kind of gives, some benefit of the doubt to Tom Izzo. That they've recruited some really good players like Rocket Watts and Malik Hall and some of these other guys who step up into more prominent roles. And so if you have Xavier Tillman back to anchor your defense, I think Michigan State has a chance to be pretty good. And then to me, you've got to, and I've still kind of grouped Michigan State in there too. A lot of teams with question marks. And, as I go through it, and we went through each one of these on an episode of Podcast on the Brink recently, I feel like Indiana has the fewest questions of all the remaining teams, and so if you kind of made me slap down a bet, hey, will Indiana finish in the top four this year? I think they will, because I think you've got some high-end talent with Trace Jackson Davis, with Christian Lander, assuming he reclassifies, which I think at this point, it's becoming a safer and safer assumption. You've got some experienced guys who have been through battles in Al Durham and Justin Smith. You've got some really interesting pieces around them with, Jerome Hunter, with Race Thompson, with some of the young guys. And obviously the biggest question mark is going to be Rob Finnessy. But, with the continuity and just with so many knowns, guys, we've actually kind of seen them play in the roles that they're going to be asked to play. There's just fewer question marks than some of the other teams. And so I actually feel pretty confident that, that this Indiana team, can and should be, at a minimum, a top 4 or 5 team in the conference. So, to me, that's kind of where I see it. And then a whole bunch of teams, underneath there, Ohio State and Michigan and some of these other teams where they've obviously got some pieces, but there's a lot of question marks. When you kind of look at that, I think Indiana's right there, one of those top 4 or 5 teams. And none of the teams above them that I talked about, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan State, are so overwhelming that you don't look at them and say Indiana can't compete with those teams. So, I think the Big Ten is going to be pretty wide open. I think, again, Wisconsin is the favorite. But I think Indiana's right there, you know, with some of those other teams, that if you get a couple of those, you know, kind of question marks to be answered in the affirmative, most notably Rob Phinisee, you know, I think Indiana has a chance to be there right at the end, actually competing for the Big Ten title if things, a couple of things break their way.
Yeah, it could be an exciting year. The problem is going to be getting to the exciting year with this coronavirus pandemic and all the discussion right now on college sports. I saw a story, Jared, just earlier that quotes the University of Illinois president saying that, you know, very much questioning, I guess is what I'll say, what fall sports could look like if and how they'll be played. And, of course, you think about college football stadiums that are packed and the tailgating and the things that go on. It might be hard to enforce social distancing measures, especially from fans. And then, of course, on the field, there really would be no such thing as social distancing, especially in a sport like football. But getting through football, getting to basketball, I haven't seen a lot of stories. I think Jay Billis had some comments on the college basketball season earlier this week. You hate to put the cart before the horse, and obviously the horse right now is college football. But I tell you, if college football's delayed or there's a later start, you've got to believe in somehow, some shape or form, that college basketball will definitely look a little different this year and maybe could be delayed or, you know, we sure hope not canceled or postponed or played at a completely different part of the calendar. But you got to believe with just where we're at right now that because of how the fall could be affected, there will be some different look to basketball this year, really at all levels.
Yeah, you know, college basketball was the first of the sports that was really negatively affected by the shutdown and the quarantine and everything. Obviously the NBA was, you know, but they were still in their regular season. I mean, college basketball was just getting ready for the tournament. That was canceled. You know, now on the back end of it, you know, college basketball has the benefit, I suppose, of being able to kind of wait and see how the other sports handle it. And so, make a good point. I mean, we're just going to have to wait and see what happens with college football. You know, does the question of whether campuses are open to all students, does that impact what happens? Are different states all going to be handling it differently so that, you know, the NCAA has to kind of figure out, okay, well, you know, California schools aren't going to be able to do this, but the schools in the South are, and how do we, you know, how do we juggle all that? Do we, you know, change up schedules so it's more regional? Do we wait and push everything back? I mean, these are all questions that are going to have to be answered, you know, and then even that, you know, there's going to be some differences in how you handle it. You know, because on the one hand with football, it takes a lot more people to play a football game, even if there are no fans in the stands, you know. On the other hand, it's outdoors, which seems to be, you know, helpful when it comes to mitigating or at least reducing the risk of spread. You know, with basketball, a lot fewer people are going to be needed to stage a game, but, you know, you're also indoors. And so there's so many different variables and different things, you know, and goodness gracious, I mean, you know, November is when college basketball is slated to start, and it feels like there are, you know, three oceans of time between now and then, given how slow it seems like time is going. So I think the kind of just the prudent and reasonable thing for any college basketball fan to do is just, you know, let's see, you know, what happens with college football, because you're right. I mean, if it's delayed, you may push back college basketball just, you know, because you're trying to keep the focus on football, or, you know, it, just the way that they play those games could give us some kind of clue on how they're going to do basketball. So it's too many unanswered questions to actually try to predict it right now. The only prediction that I would make is the one that you alluded to, which is that it's going to look different. You know, we don't know how different, whether it's no fans in the stands or the schedule or, you know, whatever it is, but it's almost surely going to look different. And whatever they figure out with football may give us some clue as to what those differences will be for basketball.
Talking to Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. I want to close with this. I saw this on Twitter. I did not mention this earlier this week on the show, but Trace Jackson Davis put on social media this week that he's going to change his number for the upcoming season. Is that correct?
I don't think anything has been confirmed, but I saw that too. It would make sense because I believe Trace's number in high school was 23, if I have that correct, and Demezi Anderson had that number. And he was here before Trace. So now the number 23 is open for Trace since Demezi transferred, and Christian Lander's number was number 4. Trace had number 4, so that would free that up for him. So I think that's kind of what everybody took from that tweet by Trace. I don't think I haven't seen anything that confirms it, But certainly it would make sense if that's what happens. So I guess we'll just wait and see.
Got it. We're talking about numbers for a season that should begin in November. You got to love it. College basketball at its finest here in Indiana. Jared, as always, thank you for the chat. We appreciate always your insight. It's a good way to wrap the week up on Friday. And as always, we'll do it again next week.
Yep, always a pleasure. Thanks,
all right,
Matt.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call with us here on this Friday show. In the next segment, Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. It's been a while since we had Jeff on. We'll catch up on some recruiting, even some local names as well. So stay with us for that coming up in the next segment. And we'll close the show later today with our senior spotlight on a spring sport athlete from Clark and Floyd counties. Today it's Colin Malloy of New Albany High School, a member of the track and field program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back in this final segment, basketball recruiting from an IU perspective with Jeff Rabjohns coming up in just a moment. Also, we have our senior spotlight to close the show later in the hour. Colin Malloy of New Albany High School, a member of the boys track and field program. Of course, we've been highlighting a senior each day that lost their spring sports season because of the pandemic that we are currently in. The great Jeff Rabjohns is with me. Jeff, it's been a while. Great to have you back with us, and lots of recruiting stuff to get to even in a slow time, and we look forward to picking your brain a little bit.
Matt, it's always good to talk to you, man. I hope you and everybody down there in Southern Indiana is doing well. It's been a little while, but yeah, we got plenty to dive into, my friend.
Yes, sir, and I want to start with a very familiar name for you. And, of course, for IU, you've written a lot about him at Pigs.com. And I think it goes without saying he is, if not the top target, one of the top targets for Indiana in the 2021 class. That's Trey Kaufman from right here in Sellersburg at Silver Creek High School. You track these recruitments pretty close. You've got lots of friends out there, lots of sources around the state and beyond. What are your thoughts? What are you hearing about Trey Kaufman and his recruitment? IU is obviously very much engaged and involved with him. Where do the Hoosiers stand?
Yeah, Indiana's in a really good position with Trey Kaufman right now. They've made him a primary target for some time. They've stayed on that. There has been no wavering. It's not like you hear some stories when a school kind of jumps in, then kind of goes away, then kind of jumps back in. IU identified him early and has stayed on him and made sure that he understands he's a priority. They've done a really good job of making him not only feel like a priority, but treating him like a priority. And it's one thing for a school to say to a kid or his folks, hey, we really want you, and then not talk to him much for a week or two. Well, when that message is consistent, when communication interest is very consistent, that's showing interest. And Indiana's done a really good job of that. Both Archie Miller and assistant coach Tom Ostrom. And Ostrom obviously has done a really good job with the guys he's really dialed in on as far as recruits, whether you talk his involvement with Romeo, Trace Jackson Davis, a number of others. But when he dials in, it's really worth paying attention to. There are other schools that certainly matter. Purdue's done a good job. Louisville certainly has stayed involved there. I think what's going to be interesting here as we move forward, North Carolina is sort of now looking at it. Virginia is looking at him, is involved. Are those schools going to make him a priority? That's question number one. Don't know that yet. They have not to this date. They're involved, but there's a difference between, hey, a little bit of involvement, we like you, we're going to call you every other week, and then making you a priority. I think the other thing is, okay, what's his interest level going to be if they make him a priority? That's kind of to be determined. But Indiana is absolutely in a very good position with Trey Kaufman at this point in time.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, with us talking basketball recruiting today in the 2021 class in the state. Is there another guy that you really like that Indiana's involved with that maybe we're not talking about as much as Trey Kaufman right now, but is still available, still a possibility for Indiana to get that you think could really be a big addition to a Big Ten level program that wants to play the game at a high level?
Yeah, Blake Wesley, South Bend Riley. He's about 6'5", has really good length, really good athleticism. His shot's improving. He's a little more slasher driver right now. But I had the chance to see him a number of times this season, and his shooting is coming on. I think his upside is really, really high. Indiana has really, over the last several months, kind of ramped things up with him. Purdue definitely matters. Notre Dame definitely matters. There's some other schools. Louisville's involved there. I would say with Louisville, kind of see how deep they get. They're not really sort of on the top line just yet, but, you know, they're trying to get there. So that'll kind of be interesting to see. There's some other schools that came in and sort of have been in and out. Ohio State's probably on that list, some others. But, yeah, I think Blake Wesley has a chance to, in time, become definitely an impact player. So he's certainly a guy you'd look at. If you kind of, like, you know, look at a little more on-the-radar guys, you know, Brooks Barnheiser from Lafayette, Jeff, is certainly an on-the-radar guy as we talk about in-state 2021 guys. Shoots it well, handles it well, has good size at about 6'5", 6'6". Not nearly the athlete Wesley is, but certainly a guy who, when you look at Brooks Barnheiser's skill set, look at his size, you know, he's a guy you could see, you know, IU maybe taking a little longer look at whenever guys start playing against. They did go watch him during the season, but I'll probably put him more just on the radar right now. But to answer your question as far as who in 2021 I definitely look at in addition to, you know, Christian Lander, who obviously is already committed to IU and could go 2020, in addition to Trey Kaufman, you know, uncommitted guys, I look at Blake Wesley. Certainly Caleb First, the center from up at Fort Wayne, is a phenomenal prospect. He's terrific. I know IU fans don't want to hear that because he's already committed to Purdue, but there's no question Caleb First is a really good player. But as far as uncommitted guys, I really like Blake Wesley. He's absolutely on that list.
Talking to Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Lots of great insight on recruiting today. This is a conversation I've wanted to have with Jeff for a while. Let's drop down even younger. I know that normally this spring would be an opportunity for Archie Miller and IU coaches as well as Division I coaches from across the country to turn their attention a little bit more seriously to some of the underclassmen, the younger players, the 2022 class and below in our state. You would do the same as you focus your attention and interviews and coverage to some of those younger guys as well. But because there have been no events, because there was no live period this spring, and there's not, it doesn't look like going to be at least a live period in July, maybe that development on who's who and who's rising to the top has been slowed down a little bit since the conclusion of the high school season. But with that, I know you know plenty about players, especially in the state, in the 2022 class, and maybe give some names that you know Indiana's involved with and you think are showing that early potential that they can play in the Big Ten Conference. And it doesn't even have to just be an Indiana name, but when you look to that next group beyond this upcoming senior class, who is there to talk about? Who's there to watch?
Sure. I think in-state the headliner pretty clearly is Jalen Washington, 6'8", 6'9". Combo forward from Gary West. He's really almost what you draw up if you were going to draw up a modern forward, especially as you think about college and even the next level, the NBA level. He can put the ball on the deck. He can make shots. He can play facing the basket. He can rebound out of his area. He's got the ability to play post defense in play and score on the block. Really pretty nimble body, pretty athletic. Yeah, really nice base up top as far as shoulders to where he could add really proper weight, stay strong but stay balanced, good athlete. The big thing with him is he suffered an ACL injury very early this past season, which, again, his sophomore season. So he sat out that whole year. So he's going to have to come back and show so that he's fully healed in time. But Jalen's a five-star level guy. You know, we're talking top 10, top 15, something like that in the country. So he's probably the headliner. Kamari Lane's up at La Lemire is another guy who has just phenomenal physical tools. He's about 6'5", 6'6", can play both guard spots, has terrific length. He's going to need to – his next step is going from really relying on being a phenomenal athlete and just being faster, quicker, stronger, and being able to jump over everybody to really sort of adding to his skill set. But he's definitely got a high ceiling. So he's an interesting guy. As far as other guys that I use, definitely looking at Sean Phillips, the 6'10 center from over in Dayton, Ohio, is very much on the IU radar. He's been to campus IU this past season for a visit. He's a little like Sticks from Maryland, kind of slender but real bouncy, good length, does a lot inside, runs the floor really well, gets up high, needs to continue to add to his skill set as far as, you know, what he can do offensively. But he's got a ton of potential. I really like him. I really like the kid that Indiana's offered named Alex Caravan. He's from the New Hampton School out in New Hampshire. He's a 6'6", 6'7", forward, more of a shooter. Scores a lot more from the arc, facing the basket, driving. He was incredibly he had incredible performance in the New England Prep School League, which I think most people know. But that's, you know, Brewster and all those big-time programs out there. And Caravan was considered one of the better players in that postseason tournament, leading New Hampton to the title. So he's a really interesting guy. I like him a lot. Indiana's also definitely very involved with Will Loving Watts from there in Jeffersonville. I think people are obviously very, very familiar with Will. About 6'4", 6'5", has phenomenal length. He's incredibly long. I think it's like 6'9", 6'10", wingspan. Has played some inside because of his wingspan and leaping ability. But at the college level, he's going to be a wing. I had a chance to see him work out some before things kind of got shut down due to coronavirus. And what's interesting to me is he's really been working on that three-point shot. Still has a ways to go, but there's been clear improvement there with footwork, with his shot prep, and just how he shoots it. So he's a guy who's ranked like top 75 or so in the country. He's definitely a guy that Indiana is very much involved with, and a local name that people probably know pretty well. So those are some of the guys that I use, you know, really involved with. You know, Isaac McNeely, a point guard from West Virginia, is another guy that I use involved with. And then there are more guys, you know, coming up who IU is going to continue to take a look at. And if you kind of talk about guys on the radar, you know, Braden Smith from Westfield is on the radar. Leland Walker from North Central, Julian Norris from Bossy is there on the radar. Pete Suter from Carmel is on the radar. Tayshaun Comer, the point guard from Cathedral, is on the radar. So there's a lot of guys that IU is really looking at in that class. And I think among the things they want to get, you know, that they want to add, you know, guards, wings who have good length and offensive skills. Obviously, you always need to have enough front court play in the Big Ten, but they definitely want to continue to look at, okay, how can you make your backcourt better? Adding to the point guard spot, adding to the wings, shooters, those kind of things.
Jeff Rabjohn, Pigs.com. Really good breakdown of some young prospects in the state and beyond. Generally about recruiting, I mentioned no spring for coaches to get out. July, the college basketball academies have been canceled. It's been recommended by both coaches' associations, the men's and women's, that the recruiting dead period be extended through the end of the month. High schoolers are going to lose out on the chance in June to play with their high school teams, and there's one weekend in June that's open to college coaches. So basically what I'm saying is everything, exposure opportunities, at least through the normal calendar through July, are not happening this year. Does the NCAA do some off-the-wall stuff and maybe try to have an open weekend or two in August or September? Or do they just let it go this year? And a lot of these kids are going to lose out on great exposure opportunities. And a lot of coaches, especially, I don't know that it's going to affect Big Ten coaches. And Indiana, you can comment on this as well. But mid-major coaches and low-major Division I coaches, are they just going to lose out on all this opportunity, period?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and several different layers to that. As far as the NCAA, the basketball people there are really interested in keeping dialogue open with coaches, AU programs, as far as if we have to keep pushing this thing back, let's not assume we're going to have to shut it down until we absolutely have to shut it down. There's some really bright basketball people at the NCAA who deal with this stuff, who understand kids need to get exposure. And so they're, even though I think, you know, I don't expect anything to happen through July. Now, there are some AU programs who are talking about, well, okay, if coaches can't play, can't watch, we can still play. I know that's getting discussed right now. I would say time will tell whether or not, you know, big entities that run big events think that's a proper idea. Because we're already getting into, you know, we're at mid-May right now. You know, July is, what, 5 to 6 weeks away? It's coming fast. So whether or not people actually play or not, I think it's still very much up in the air. But what's getting discussed is, okay, what about something in August or September? I mean, I know some coaches are even talking about, well, hey, why not just make September open? And, okay, kids are in school, so you can't have them traveling, you know, have them playing like Wednesday through Sunday. But what about just making every weekend in September open? Put on events, college coaches can go see players play. That way kids at least get seen. And that's the big thing, kids getting seen. Because you have guys, I mean, mentioned guys like Brooks Barnheiser, you know, definitely a mid-major plus type guy, but are high majors going to offer? We'll see. Maybe a guy, you know, down south there, like a Cooper Jacoby from Silver Creek. You know, mid-majors definitely like him. Would high majors like him? I don't know. They don't know. They haven't had a chance to see him. Those are the kind of guys for whom April was really a big month. You see it every year. Somebody sort of, quote, comes from nowhere. I wouldn't really say they come from nowhere, but what actually happens is they get exposure. They get seen. Like Aaron Henry a couple years ago from Ben Davis, you know, locally and stayed here. Yeah, we knew Aaron Henry could play. He played at Ben Davis. They were really good. He was really good. But nationally, people hadn't seen him. What happens? Plays really well in April in front of a whole bunch of coaches. IU offers, a bunch of other schools offer. He ends up going to Michigan State. So the spring and summer is a really big time for players to get seen, and that's a big part of it. So I do think the whole idea of maybe something in August or maybe opening up weekends in September, I do think that's going to continue to get discussed. I think you know, time will tell exactly whether or not that happens or not. But yeah, things are still getting discussed, and I think, you know, you hit it on the head, that it's really important for kids to get seen. And if they don't get seen, one thing that's going to happen is if guys aren't seen, I think you're going to have more good players end up at mid-major than in a normal year, because there are guys who would have gotten high major offers who don't, just because they didn't get seen, who end up at mid-majors. You could see more good players at mid-majors this class than in a normal class.
Interesting stuff. Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. Really appreciate the in-depth chat on 2021 and below, and just recruiting as a whole today, Jeff, as always. Great job, and let's do it again very soon.
Sounds good, my friend. Stay safe. Always good chatting with you.
Absolutely. Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. Of course, you can read lots of Jeff's coverage of recruiting and a lot more surrounding IU basketball, football, and other sports at the Pigs.com website. Let's wrap up today with our senior spotlight on a spring sport athlete here in Clark and Floyd counties. Today we tell you all about Colin Malloy of New Albany High School. He's a member of the boys track and field team for the Bulldogs. Athletically, Colin, a 2019 Hoosier Hills Conference champion in the 3,200-meter relay, varsity letter winner in cross country as well. Academically, Colin Malloy strong there also, 3.88 GPA, and a member of the National Honor Society. When Connor isn't on the track or running, guess what he likes to do? He listed one hobby, running. That's what Colin likes to do. Colin is wanted to give a shout-out to a couple of his coaches, Nick Ellis, his distance coach at New Albany High School. Colin Malloy is the son of Justin and Marie Malloy, and after graduation from New Albany High School, Colin will go across the river to the University of Louisville. He'll major in computer information and security, And we give a salute today to Colin Malloy, a member of the track and field team at New Albany, for lots of work, lots of effort, both on the track, in the classroom. And he's got his future set with a great plan to go to U of L with a great major. And, Colin, we're sorry you didn't get one more chance to get back out there and finish your career off with a bang. But we did want to do our small part in recognizing all of your accomplishments, which is so very impressive, both athletically and beyond. Colin Malloy of New Albany High School, member of the track and field team. He's our senior spotlight as we wrap up the week here on this Friday show. Have a great weekend. I'll be back with you Monday at 11 a.m. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Thank you, seniors, for the memories. And thanks all of our senior spotlight sponsors, T.A. Jenkins, Mitch Craig Heating and Cooling, and upsjobs.com/Louisville.